Welcome to MetaStrategy's Forum on World-Class IT. I'm Peter High, and I'm pleased to welcome Jamie Miller to the broadcast. Jamie's the Senior Vice President and Chief Information Officer of General Electric, a post she's held since April 15th of 2013. She's responsible for driving GE's global information technology strategy, services, and operations, and aggressively delivering innovative and transformational solutions. Prior to taking on her current role, she served as the Chief Accounting Officer, Vice President, and Controller at GE. Prior to that, she held the same role at GE Capital Services and the Principal Accounting Officer, Senior Vice President and Controller at GE Capital Corporation. She also served as the Vice President of Corporate Finance at GE Capital. Prior to joining GE, Jamie was the Chief Accounting Officer and Senior Vice President of WellPoint, and she also served in a number of roles at PricewaterhouseCoopers and as Vice President, Corporate Controller, and Chief Accounting Officer at Genworth Financial. Jamie's been a member of the Standing Advisory Group at Public Company Accounting Oversight Board since January of 2009 and is also a member of the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants. She also serves on Oracle's President's Council and is a member of the Sutter Hill Ventures Customer Advisory Board and CIO Strategy Exchange. Jamie holds a BS in accounting from Miami University in Oxford, Ohio, and I recently caught up with Jamie from her office in Fairfield, Connecticut, and our conversation covered world-class IT principles 1, people, as we discussed her unique career journey to the role of CIO and the insights it's lent in developing an IT team. Principle 4, IT and business partnerships, as we discussed her priorities in leading the transformation in IT, as well as a variety of other topics. The Forum on World-Class IT is brought to you by Red Hat, the world's leading open-source solutions provider. Learn more at redhat.com. Well, Jamie Miller, welcome to the Forum on World-Class IT.
Thanks, Peter. Happy to be here.
Well, Jamie, yours is a very interesting path to CIO. In fact, you, as I understand it from our past conversations, don't have any prior formal experience in IT. It's not as though you grew up from programmer to your current post. And I wonder, actually, as a relative outsider to the function, what advantages you found to approaching IT with a different set of sensibilities, different set of experiences?
Well, I think you know this. I grew up really in the finance side of things. And previously at GE, I was GE's controller and chief accounting officer. And I think in my finance role, you really learn a lot about how companies are put together. You know, the products, the markets, the processes, the systems, and really where a company does very well and where it's got some issues. And I think having that type of insight is really critical coming into the CIO role. I also think, to your point about not growing up in IT, I actually think that has some benefits because I'm kind of able to view technology and our solutions from a business perspective almost more so and really help challenge our thinking around how we're driving business outcomes or how we can be better aligned to the company's goals. So it sort of gives you this outside-in view.
That's great. I really like especially your emphasis on the financials, learning how the company is put together, as you put it. Having worked with a great number of CIOs, that isn't necessarily the forte of IT executives, the financial side. Often there's tremendous expertise in terms of the technical side, needless to say. But being able to convey the value of IT in financial terms is so critical. I can only imagine that that's something that you've brought to IT in terms of not only conveying, of course, the cost of what's being proposed in the investments that make up the IT portfolio that you're pursuing, but also potentially more thought about the overall value of what's being cobbled together. Is that fair?
I think that is fair. And it really links to what I was saying about having an outcomes-based approach. Because what you start to realize is that in IT, we can sometimes focus a lot, to your point, on what we're building and the cost of what we're building and the intricacies of that. And sometimes we need a little bit more linkage to talking in that business language around what's the outcome, what's the impact to revenue and margin because we put the system in or because we're making this change. And I think being able to translate and talk sort of in those business terms is really one of the keys to having the function work really successfully with the business on their objectives.
You mentioned, of course, that you were controller and chief accounting officer prior to your current role. What was your relationship with IT before that? How did you interact with IT on a day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month basis?
I worked a lot with IT You know, in my former role, I worked a lot with respect to not only the applications that support finance, but also the business applications and how they integrated with finance. And so whether it was working through how do we want to think about data or process automation and how that data gets fed from point to point, we worked on a lot of those types of projects with businesses, or really looking at how do we set a new strategy around finance systems for the company. I worked a lot in that application space as a customer.
That's great, actually, to have sat on both sides of that table and probably recognizing the relative strengths and areas that you as a user of IT would have suggested from that perch that they improve. I can only assume that you, of course, took that with you in your transition to the current role. Did that color your impressions and give you some thoughts about where to begin and sort out your plans in your first 100 days in the role?
It did help because I really had a sense, again, like I mentioned, for how the businesses sort of fit together. But I would also tell you that one of my big learnings coming into the role was how much more there was to learn about IT. It's not just the applications piece of it, but there's also a big component, which is the infrastructure utility that we run for the company. And between that and really spending a lot of time understanding the macro trends and their impact and how we needed to lean into those trends a little bit as well, that sort of rounded out how I spent my time coming up to speed. You sort of mentioned first 50 or 100 days in the role. And just to talk about that a little bit, when I stepped into the role of the CIO, I just spent a lot of time listening and learning. I had some experience, like I mentioned, in finance with some of the application and in data spaces, but I also had this broader awareness that there was so much here to learn. And so I went out to all of our business sites, a lot of manufacturing centers, spent time with our software teams, our cyber teams, and I met with really dozens of our IT and our business and our functional leaders really to just to get their views on IT, what we do well, where we need to play, where we need to play differently. I also spent a lot of time outside the company with either external peers, both traditional and some non-traditional technology players, and really trying to gain some insights into the broader trends and bring that back to GE to really set our strategy for IT. So it was a really, really good process. And frankly, I'm always learning. I'm still learning, but it really helped us set our plan.
What are some examples of the non-traditional peers whose advice you sought?
Well, as you can imagine, I spent time with some of my peers, you know, whether it's Procter & Gamble or others like that, Accenture and IBM. But then I've also spent a decent amount of time out in California in the Silicon Valley just talking to startups and understanding trends from their perspective to really look at both the new world of IT as well as, frankly, the traditional world of IT, how those two things are meshing today and where we need to start setting our path for GE technology as we think about going forward.
You mentioned, of course, that as you got deeper into the role that you came to understand the things that you didn't fully appreciate until you owned the role. As you identified gaps in your own knowledge, how did you go about filling them? Obviously, a portion of that was through the advice you were seeking from your peers, traditional and non-traditional, as you mentioned. But were there people on your team that you leaned on more or less because their capabilities were different from your own?
Absolutely. I spend a lot of time with our CTO. I spend a lot of time with their teams, whether it's the technical teams or the security teams or the software teams. And a lot of it is just, okay, show me, tell me, how does this really work? What's the real linkage here? And asking, frankly, just a lot of simple questions to make sure I understood the concepts. But really, it's the macro trend, and then it's deepening down and drilling down into some of the detailed areas to understand how it works. But you name it, I probably make my team crazy with the questions I ask. But you really have to understand some of the details to be able to kind of come back up and really set the course and the strategy.
Obviously, General Electric, as all of our listeners would know, is a behemoth of a corporation. It has business units that themselves could be Fortune 500 companies in terms of their size and scale and scope. How do you interact with the many CIOs who lead those business units?
GE is a company that is all about leveraging our scale, okay? And so when we think about how we work together as our businesses, I'd say it's really three things. It's strategy. Where do we need to think about IT and its future for GE? It's leveraging our scale. What should we be doing the same, or what should we be leveraging in a much bigger way to do something bigger for GE? The third space where I spend a ton of time is talent. Really understanding how do we attract, retain, cultivate, and really drive talent development across IT and technology in the company and really pull through big leaders and develop them. I mean, that's one of the big benefits of working with a company like GE is we have such a great opportunity at scale to develop big talent and to give people big opportunities. And so that's a big, big part of my job.
As you think about strategy, Jamie, what is the process that you have used to develop your own IT strategy? How do you incorporate the plans of the business units themselves or of the corporation and then create something that's uniquely your own or uniquely IT's?
Well, I mentioned before that I've sat with all of our business leaders, our IT leaders, our functional leaders, and I think all of their input, you can really put it together and understand what the big themes across the company are to drive. And so what we've done for IT is we've said, our big themes are innovation, simplification, employee experience, cybersecurity, and investing in our IT talent. And within those five themes, they apply to every one of our businesses. And the actual tactical strategy we might take on in a healthcare business versus an aviation business might be different, but it really drives into each of those five big themes. And when you think about it, those themes are really a balance of where we need to invest as a company, where we need to simplify and accelerate performance, and really bringing in how we need to lean into some of the macro trends.
And as you have thought about the various things that make up your strategic plan, and even as you thought about the hurdles you were going over in coming up to speed on the IT function and making it at least partially your own, but knowing that GE is a very metrics-driven organization, what sort of metrics did you employ to gauge success or lack thereof?
Yeah, to me, the metrics get down to, did we execute what we said we're going to execute, and what outcomes are we driving for the business? So, you know, take something like simplification, where we've got significant investments going on right now in supply chain technology. We've got each business having a very specific plan around how we're going to consolidate our ERP systems, as an example. As you know, we're a very acquisitive company. Our landscape and footprint can change quite a bit, actually, over the course of a few years. So right now, this focus on ERP consolidation and systems integration, we've got very defined metrics around what we want each of our businesses to target in the way of ultimate system count, and we measure those every quarter. Similarly, we also have big investments going on in our services businesses to really make sure we're highly integrated and highly automated in how our workflows work and how data moves through the company. And we're measuring that as well. So we basically say, what outcome do we want? Let's break that down into the tactical actions to get there. Then we figure out how to measure it, and that's how we go through it.
Again, I think not necessarily a typical discipline for IT departments, but needless to say, the culture of GE is being very metrics-driven, coupled with the fact that a former finance leader is now ahead of the function. No surprise that some more sophisticated metrics would be used to gauge progress.
Yeah, and it's interesting because those types of metrics give our business leaders something to also really drill into, too. So it's a good leverage of the broader team.
You mentioned, as you were walking through the themes that have emerged as part of your strategy, the first one you mentioned was innovation. And I wonder, what is the process that you have thought about from IT's perspective? How does it engage in the innovation process?
We engage in the innovation process in a lot of different ways. First, we have a very robust collaboration community in the company. We've got a platform called CoLab, which has 340,000 unique visitors. I think it's got more than 23,000 groups in it today. It's really a place where people can form communities to solve different problems or innovate around different challenges. That's been a really big thing. The IT communities there are very chatty and very robust, whether it's problem solving or working through issues or just sharing information. We also have done a lot of work with our software center in San Ramon, and that one's been very exciting, is the partnerships we've been forging in the last couple of years between software, IT, and engineering to really bring together the software center's ability to be very creative and bring in data scientists and other disciplines, coupled with engineering, coupled with IT, and our ability to operationalize at scale has really driven an innovation ability to drive some unique new applications. One example is something like a solution we've driven called Smart Outage, which is basically a workflow and mobile collaboration tool designed for our field engineers in our services businesses. And it really gives them real-time the way when they're out on a rig repairing some big heavy metal equipment or when they're at a power plant, a way to connect back and collaborate with the experts. It's a way for them to have automated measurements and workflows and a way for them to transmit data in ways we haven't been able to do before. So it's really driven this mobile touch, collaboration, and productivity. And it's ideas and applications like that, that the combination of the disciplines together has really been able to help us drive.
I wonder also, as you look, say, a few years out, what are some of the IT trends that particularly excite you? And I asked this on the heels of your very interesting point that in addition to your having sought the counsel of peer CIOs at equivalently or equally complex organizations to GE, but you also tapped into Silicon Valley. And I really love that whole notion that the CIO needs to understand where is money going towards the development of startups and future successful technology companies that an organization like yours ought to be tapping early. What are some of the conclusions that you've drawn as to the sorts of innovations outside of GE that you might tap into?
Yeah, so probably the two big themes I spend a lot of time on are cloud and mobility. Mobility, I think, is much more well-formed. It's constantly coming up with different applications and uses. But when we think about the application to GE, mobile first, we're really thinking differently about application design and development. A lot more focus on user experience. And you can see that coming through in tools like Smart Outage, which I mentioned, or some of the other tools we're building around how to help our sales forces have much more real-time conversations with our customers around coding, ROI, and other things. So the mobile's been a huge, huge external trend that we're leaning into. The other one that I think is really interesting is cloud. And whether you want to think about cloud in the software as a service space or all the way over into the infrastructure as a service space, I think it's a topic that is moving at light speed. And we see very mature SaaS capabilities out there. Where we see mature SaaS capability, typically in GE, we're adopting it very rapidly. And then on the infrastructure as a service side, when you really think about cloud capability there, we've done a lot with industrial internet to power that with cloud infrastructure. But when we think about enterprise infrastructure at scale, that's another topic we're really leaning into. And what I can tell you is when I spend time with the VC firms or other startups, we're seeing some very rapid innovation in this space and things that are going to cause companies' abilities to tap into some of these providers in a highly switchable, highly controlled way. I think that ability is going to be there in the next year or two, and it's very exciting to think about how we can move from running data centers and controlling our infrastructure to a space where we're driving speed at scale using somebody else's power and infrastructure. And look, I think there's a lot there we're going to learn along the way, but that's a big one where we spend a lot of our time thinking about sort of strategy and the future of how we need to think about IT.
Well, Jamie Miller, thank you so much for joining us on the Forum on World Class IT and sharing your perspectives about your own journey and about the journey ahead for GE and GE IT. It's been a great conversation.
Great. Thanks so much for having me, Peter.
The Forum on World Class IT would like to thank Red Hat, the world's leading provider of open source solutions, for being our corporate sponsor. Red Hat is a catalyst in communities of customers, contributors, and partners creating better technology the open source way. Connect to an ecosystem of innovation at redhat.com today to learn more. You've just listened to a podcast in a series we call MetaStrategy's Forum on World Class IT. If you like what you've heard, please consider reading my book, World Class IT, Why Businesses Succeed When IT Triumphs, published by Josie Bass, a division of Wiley Press, in December of 2009. Both the book and the Forum on World Class IT offer stories from a wide range of top IT leaders relating to MetaStrategy's five principles of World Class IT. The five principles are as follows. Principle one is people, and it's really the foundational principle. Without the right people doing the right jobs at the right time, it'll be nearly impossible to achieve excellent performance. The second principle is infrastructure. We like to say that this is the principle that separates proactive organizations from reactive ones. If infrastructure is not reliably performing its tasks, the IT organization will become stuck in reactive mode, consistently fighting fires. If systems and hardware and networks and so on work reliably, then a larger portion of the organization can think about the future. The third principle is project and portfolio management. This is the engine through which new capabilities can be brought to bear on behalf of the company. It is important to ensure that projects are delivered on time, on budget, and on target, and that the portfolio collectively supports the objectives of the business. The fourth principle is IT and business partnerships. It's important that first and foremost, the different parts of IT, from business analysis to development and QA, through to support and all other aspects of IT, communicate effectively and efficiently. It's equally important then that IT develop a partnering relationship with the business that it is a part of. If the three prior principles are done well, then IT should earn a place at the strategy setting table, driving different parts of the business strategy. The fifth and last principle is external partnerships. Outsourcing is becoming a crucial weapon that organizations are employing, and managing these relationships to ensure that value is achieved is critical. In the fourth principle, the organization has learned and contributed to the discussion about what is strategic and what is not. Once that's clear, then it will be easier to determine which aspects of IT might be better managed by external partners or vendors. For more information on these five principles and the sub-principles that are associated with each, please visit our website at www.metastrategy.com, and please share your thoughts and comments by contacting us at feedback@metastrategy.com. And our theme music was written by David Armin. I'm Peter High. Thanks for listening.